of Chelsea Manning. At 10 o'clock, Chris Andre with Air Cascadia. At 10:15 on Locus Focus, Barbara Bernstein will have William DeBise talk about his journey in search of the SOLA, the first large land mammal discovered in 50 years. At 11 o'clock, Disability Awareness welcomes activist Lisa Lake to discuss disability issues with houseless people and solutions for service providers. And then at 11:30 on Voices for the Animals, we speak with legendary consumer advocate and author Ralph Nader about his new book, Animal Envy. That's all coming up this morning on KBOO, and it's all possible because of generous donations from KBOO members. And if you're not one, please do become one. Go to kboo.fm and click on donate. It's 7:59. This is KBOO.
Why, I'm all in the ground. I'd root that mountain down, and I wish I was a mole in the ground.
Tune in to KBOO Monday mornings at 9 for the Old Mole Variety Hour, your source for radically democratic news, views, reviews, and interviews, stories of ordinary and extraordinary people working to root down the oppressive institutions of capitalism. That's the Old Mole Variety Hour, Monday mornings at 9.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934. And certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is also available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Board meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The KBOO Board of Directors meets the fourth Monday of the month, starting at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held. To request notice of board meetings in writing, please email Monica at kboo.org.
Good morning, honey, you old gloomy sight.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the Real Cool Film Series at the Clinton Street Theater. The film this month is Lady Sings the Blues, showing Monday, January 23rd at 7 p.m. Diana Ross portrays jazz singer Billie Holiday in this biographical drama. The film depicts her early attempts at a singing career and her eventual rise to stardom, as well as her difficult relationships and drug addiction. Again, that's Lady Sings the Blues, Monday, January 23rd at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning. Today is Monday, January 23rd, 2017. You are listening to More Talk Radio. I'm Cecil Prescott, and we will begin. For those of you who are just listening, you heard the inimitable Diana Ross and singing a song by Billie Holiday. I like Diana Ross, but I prefer Billie Holiday when hearing this song. But to hear these words: good morning, heartache, you old gloomy sight. Good morning, heartache. Though we said goodbye last night, I turned and tossed until it seemed you have gone. But here you are with the dawn. Wish I forgot you, but you're here to stay. It seems I met when my love went away. Now every day I stop, I'm saying to you, good morning, heartache, what's new? Stop haunting me, can't shake you know how. Just leave me alone, I've got those Monday blues straight to Sunday blues. Good morning, heartache, here we go again. Good morning, heartache, you're the one who knows me well. Might as well get used to you hanging around. Good morning, heartache, sit down. And for the next 1,457 days, that might be how many greet the morning. But for those who were disappointed by the election of a new president of the United States and his inauguration, we also saw actions this weekend of people who are part of that resistance. And so this morning, I invite you to share your thoughts with us. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. If you were a part of some of the actions this weekend, particularly if you were part of the Women's March, which was worldwide, and here in Portland, 70, 100,000, who know, people gathered on the streets of Portland, but not only Portland and many communities in this state and throughout this nation and indeed the world. The Women's March perhaps was a sign of things to come. So give us a thought. Give us your thought. And particularly, did you participate, and why did you go? And what are you telling your children about what's next? Our numbers again are 503-231-8187. One friend of mine wrote, instead of trying to get Trump and his sympathizer to change their minds and policy, which I think is a futile endeavor, put time and energy into working at the state and local level to minimize the implementations of Trump policies. They are many, ranging from foreign policy to the lack of a sense that there is climate change or that humanity has anything to do with it, to the attack on Muslims, the attack on those who are immigrants here in this country. Good Morning Heartache might be an appropriate song to sing in the morning. But also there are signs of hope. What are those signs for you and your community? So were you a participant at the march on Saturday, and where do we go from here? Again, our numbers are 503-231-8187, and we have a couple of callers who are about to join us in a few minutes, but, you know, there's still room for you. So let's go, just a second, our engineer is about to share with us. Our first caller is Barth. Good morning. Were you at the Women's March this weekend?
Only in spirit, okay. I'm afraid. I had other obligations, but the march in Washington, by general estimates, was about 500,000 people.
Yes.
And residual marches around the country, I think it's fair to say that there may have been an equal number spread out among all of the cities of the country. Maybe not. But just in Washington, just numerically for many of the wonky people in the audience, and also just for general admission, that's about one person out of every 640 people in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big number. And if you include an estimated mass of other protests, let's say that's more than one in 500 that came out to say the future is different than we're being told, and we can make the future different than the people in power want it to be, and that working together in solidarity, in love, and with focus, we can change the country from the path that it's on, and that we need to do this. It's not something that we can be passive about. And your work and this station's work and the listeners of this station's work is to help crystallize this in a positive way. And I encourage everybody to open up their eyes and to open up their hearts and to open up their ears and embrace the change and keep it positive, but keep it moving. And that's all I've got to say.
Okay. Thank you very much, Barf. Our first caller, Barf, was sharing his thoughts and encouraging us to embrace the change, to build upon the energy that people felt this weekend. Are you doing that, or do you have other thoughts? Our number's here at 503-231-8187. Deanna, good morning.
Good morning, Cecil, and thank you for this. And first of all, I would second everything that was just said. But what I called to say has been most inspiring to me about the Women's March, aside from the numbers, which are fabulous, was the fact that we women, through discussing and sometimes having conflict that we needed to work through, came to a new position about the women's movement that has forever changed what will be known as the women's movement from now on. The women's movement is led by members of all the marginalized communities in the world. One look at who was on the stage in Washington will tell anybody that. So women of color, immigrants, trans, queer, just everybody who is not white, I'm saying it frankly, are the leaders. And what has really inspired me is that is exactly what has to happen. And that we marched on Saturday, I believe, in solidarity with that. That the white women who marched on Saturday were on board with that. This, to me, is an enormous change that has had to take place for a very long time. This may be just the beginning, but it is a powerful beginning. And I guess the last thing I would say is that it's my hope that every single woman and ally in that march will immediately see where is the organization that she must be part of, for that's the only way we're going to make change, or one that she has to start. It's certainly a lot easier to get on board with the ones that are already in existence. Anyway, thank you very much for hearing me out.
Well, before you go,
one
of the challenges, and you've already outlined the fact that this has to be a broad-based coalition, but one of the challenges was the little kerfluffle we had here in Portland with regard to opening the Women's March up to those marginalized women, and the fact that it took some shuffling to get that done. And so we have to remember that not one group gets to be the leader or the boss. It has to be coalition, and that's hard and ugly work. Yes, we know, but it's necessary.
Well, thank you. That is what I was getting at. I didn't mean to say that white women need to be subordinated. What I was trying to say was that many people now who are white, as am I, have understood that when we support the most marginalized, we are standing up for all of us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your call.
Okay, thank you.
And you're listening to KBOO. This is More Talk Radio. My name is Cecil Prescott.
My name is Celeste Carey, and we're waiting for you here on your community connection, KBOO Portland. Good morning, Diet.
Good morning, Celeste. I totally agree with what you were saying about the organization. I was at the Women's March on Saturday, and I was sorry to see that there was some some problems about including women of color and women of color primarily. But my main concern is I don't think I want to be singing the blues. I know I don't want to be singing the blues this morning, as Cecil suggested. I want to be singing the Ella Baker song, "We Who Believe in Freedom Cannot Rest. We Who Believe in Freedom Cannot Rest Until It Comes."
Absolutely. I'm with you. I'm not, I feel you, Cecil, but I'm not ready to start singing Good Morning Heartache. I'm more like, okay, this is kind of both a play on words and a sentiment, but it's like, well, to our Trump supporters to say, well, do you see what I see?
Very good.
You know, like I'm not even for getting up in your face like the folks did for Pence. Mm-hmm. You know, I think at this point, loud and proud has its place. But right now, I think what we need to do is be focused and specific and shore up our areas first. Like, you know, get our sanctuaries together, do our trainings, make sure we have our news supplies, our news facilities in order. And then when the stuff hits the fan, and it will, you know, be able to say, well, come over here, not I told you so. You know,
right.
That never worked.
I see that happening, really. You know, the unions are starting to organize us. Other groups are starting to organize us, teach us nonviolent resistance skills, help organize us all intersectionally. I think that's the whole answer.
Yes, I totally agree. But thank you for getting the word out and reminding us that, well, vigilance never sleeps.
That's right. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
And this is your community radio station, KBOO. We're sharing our reflections on the Women's March on this past weekend, and something else happened in Washington, D.C. But
let's see. I heard that some women marched in D.C. too.
Women march in D.C.?
Yeah.
Anything else happen in D.C.?
Not to my knowledge. Not of significance. Oh, wait. I remember. I remember reading this. As a matter of fact, I think I saw it. There was some kind of trouble or chaos or something going on that had Michelle Obama looking particularly kind of peeved and upset and aggrieved.
Perhaps.
Yeah. Like she had eaten some really bad sushi or something.
Well, you know, perhaps let's hear your thoughts on that. And please, there's no alternative facts.
No, my goodness. No alternative facts. Good morning, Corey.
Good morning, Celeste. Good morning, people. On the way back from the march, I was reading, I think you've had her on your program before, the new Jim Crow, Michelle Alexander.
Oh, a lot of us have. Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to be brief about this. That was fantastic, by the way. We've been waiting for this for a long time. But I just wanted to put it out that she's coming to Reed College on the 7th of next month.
Mm-mm.
And that it's probably too late to get her on the show, but I just want to just alert the listeners to that. And that's going to be my focus for the activism this year. And hope to see everybody out there.
Well, you know, I appreciate that you have a specific line that you're working on. And for a lot of us, we can get overwhelmed if we try to take on too much. But as long as it's part of that big tapestry of freedom and engagement that we know we need, then that's good. You know, just make sure that as soon as that one's done, you got your next one lined up. Look at me. I got your due list already.
Yeah, on that point, I think it's my heartfelt belief that if we could get a hold of that specific issue, I think it'll have to use the Cold War rhetoric of the domino effect.
Yes.
I think that's what's going to happen, but in a good way.
Yeah, I would even say critical mass. But yeah, I'm feeling you right there. All righty. Well, give us that date again and time.
That's February 7th. I think it's at 6 o'clock at Reed.
Okay. And I'm not sure if we can still do this, but at a point, one of the things we could do was to upload information to KBOO's community calendar. So I would encourage people to take a visit and see if that's a possibility. And maybe you can do that too, Corey.
Okay. Thank you very much for the show.
All righty. Thank you for your call.
Michelle Alexander will be in town.
All right.
That's exciting. Let's see what Chris has to say. Were you at the Women's March, and what are your thoughts?
Oh, hi, good morning. Yeah, thanks for having me. I was at the Women's March, and it was amazing. It was huge. I haven't seen anything like that in Portland. I was also at the Labor March that morning. But I think what I'm going to talk about, and I thought this was part of your introduction, talking about all the marches and stuff over the weekend, was Friday night. I was out there on Friday night, and what I saw was pretty concerning because thanks to the late, great Stu Sugarman, Portland attorney here in Portland, the state Supreme Court ruled a few years back that the police couldn't disperse a crowd, that their orders to disperse at an Iraq war protest a few years prior were unconstitutional. And that's exactly what happened on Friday night. Our new mayor said that he was going to, you know, crack down on protesters. And so on Friday night, we had the, quote, bad protesters mm-hmm. out marching without a permit. And they were dispersed not just from the streets, but from Pioneer Square, from Portland's living room. They actually shot tear gas into yes. Pioneer Square to, in my opinion, unconstitutionally disperse a crowd that's, that's our right to gather and assemble. And so that's, that. I mean, we have this new president in D.C., but I'm concerned about our new mayor here in Portland, who's the chief of police. And these concerns were, I was excited to see echoed by Margaret Jacobson, yes. The organizer of the quote-unquote good protest, where we saw, you know, the police and the mayor saluting the Women's March and a lot of people thanking the police and taking pictures with the police in their pink hats. And so the contrast between the two marches in that way, I was glad to see not only addressed by people who were out there on Friday night, but by Margaret Jacobson and other organizers from the Women's March on Saturday.
Yeah, I think that's a great point you make. You know, there's this tendency by the authorities to try to divide the resistance, as you say, by the good protesters, but the bad protesters, and I think if we just take a historical perspective, that in the United States, that all the bad protesters have often been thought of as bad. 64% of the American public in 1964 thought that the civil rights activists were bad protesters, that they were harming the movement. So I think we have to remain in solidarity and recognize that there are a variety of tactics and there are varieties of ways in which we can help build a new society. So what are your thoughts, Celeste?
Well, my concern is this. If you've got quote unquote bad protesters, we gotta understand how we're defining bad, you know, because if you're looking at people who are damaging property, my concern, especially because this is the true lifeblood sometimes of a metropolitan area, is the small business owner. Small business owners might be also out there protesting, you know, the situation, and then come back and find their business is destroyed because people felt that was the appropriate way to protest the very same thing they were protesting. So, you know, I think we need to be a little bit more sympathetic to how we define bad and what kinds of ground rules we're going to have, and be willing to set those up and then be willing to hold each other accountable. And I understand for some folks, if you're looking at something like, what is it, HSBC Bank, or if I got the letters scrambled, my apologies, but, you know, they get mad because maybe I lost my mortgage to these people. Well, okay, I understand what you're saying, but then will the property damage give us the attention that we need, or will it bring a different kind? But I'm all for sitting down and having a discussion about how we do it. You know, I'm not saying unilaterally, okay, folks, you know, don't get upset, don't be good protesters. You know, I'm not quite sure what the whole answer is to that, but I do know we still need a few ground rules. I don't know. What do you think, caller?
Well, I mean, there wasn't, the, you know, small businesses weren't getting vandalized on Friday
right.
night.
Right, true.
And so I think, Cecil mentioned the Civil Rights Movement. I think we can look back to Martin Luther King, who was often asked this question about the quote-unquote bad protesters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to my knowledge, he never condemned them. Mm-hmm. When he was asked about the violent riots, he would always turn it around and talk about the violence of the state and the police. And I believe his quote was, "The riot is the language of the unheard."
Right.
And so he refused to kind of fall into that trap. I don't know if he condones that stuff or what, but he, at least in the public, in the media, he didn't go for that good protester, bad protester thing. I think he recognized that without Malcolm and the Panthers, I think he used the quote-unquote bad protesters to advance his cause.
Mm-hmm.
I think he kind of worked in partnership in many ways, even if they weren't on the same page tactically. I think he recognized, and they both kind of recognized the value of each other's tactics and positions, and used that to push forward in their own ways.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point. I mean, Kwame Ture born Stokely Carmichael, and he worked together, and there was always that conflict between SCLC and SNCC in terms of tactics. And I think those who are revolutionaries or resistors recognize that at different times, different tactics might be caused by different means. But I think you're quite accurate there in terms of resisting. The desire of the oppressor to divide people, we all know, you know, historically about how agencies of the government tried to do that. So
do provocative, yes. So, well, I'm still for a dialogue about talking about it, because I figure dialogue cannot steer us wrong. But I do hear the points of don't let us demonize each other.
Yeah, great. Thanks a lot, everyone.
Uh-huh, thank you.
And you're listening to More Talk Radio on KBOO, your community radio station, 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 Hood River, 104.3.
And where else? Everywhere else.
KBOO.FM. Exactly.
We almost had it in too.
Yeah.
Okay. Is this the same Corey or a new Corey? New Corey.
This is Texas Corey. How y'all doing?
Hi, we're doing fine. How are you doing, Texas Corey?
Pretty good. 2 points. I went to the march. The march was a great experience, but I've called the show before. Y'all know me. I'm all about action. And so I'm like, well, what's next? I think that people have to get out and they have to run for office, because they have to start at the grassroots level. I think that going to the march, I think it was a great experience, but I'm all about, well, what's next? We have to mobilize, and I think that we have to start, whether it's the school board, I'm about to run for something locally myself, because I find what I want to run for. I think that people are kind of scared to do things of that nature, because, you know, people have passed, whatever the case may be. And as far as the caller about Ted Wheeler, it's like, you look at Ted Wheeler. Ted Wheeler's a quote-unquote progressive, and he was sort of cracking down on Friday night. And I understand, as the mayor, he has a job to do, but the way he verbalized it was sort of, it was a bit strong as far as I'm concerned. But I think that the police in Portland have been out there, and from what I observed Friday night, they I'm
Oh, Corey, we lost you. Hello.
Oh, in the middle of his sentence, give us a call back.
Yes.
And we've had some problems. There was some interference in your line. It was difficult to hear.
Yeah, cell phone and mobile travel. I know what that was.
But let's go to before we go to Gordon.
Okay.
You know, it was the Women's March, and I want to hear more women voices to call.
That's true. We had a few, but more. And first, second, I guess it would be, thank you guys for going.
All right.
Yeah, thank you for being there. Because, I mean, if anybody read that satirical article in The Onion about how Mike Pence said he was upset and disappointed that all these men let their wives go out and march.
Okay.
I'm very happy that not only did they, quote unquote, let and allow, but they accompanied, you know, as allies and partners. Yay. Okay.
Gordon, your thoughts on Women's March, and were you there on Saturday?
Hello, thank you for having me on. Yes, I was there. It was very, it was huge. I was enthralled by how many allies and people, just, you know, queer people, people of color, everyone, people who came out to support, or rather to decry bigotry. It was really empowering. It was a pulse that I really needed to feel. It's been quite depressing to see the rights that the Orange One is going to just sort of scoop away. I identify as trans, and so I'm just totally afraid constantly. But I wanted to, you guys were talking about the Women's March, and that was worldwide, and it was so beautiful. There was something else going on in Washington. It looked a lot like a military dictator, and the person on the podium was glowing with evil. And I noticed that this evil person, Donald Trump, he kissed Michelle Obama on the cheek. And I think that moment horrified me more than anything else in the whole thing. I couldn't believe that he would uphold such an antiquated custom as treating the wife of President Obama like she was just his accompaniment, you know, like his escort. It was just so deplorable. It was so sad, and I just really, I don't know how Michelle Obama herself feels about it, and I don't want to. I'm sure she's courageous enough to overcome anything that is thrown at her, but that just, I couldn't believe it. That chilled me to the bone, seeing that. Yeah.
Well, I did not see that. But one thing that I thought was telling for me is when the new president and his wife came to the White House and the Obamas greeted them, that Mr. Trump came out of his vehicle and his wife, he came out first.
Mm-hmm.
Left her hanging.
Oh, yeah.
And then when they went into the White House, he went
flying
first.
Flying in.
And the Obamas were left with Mrs. Trump. They all went in together. So he was just ignoring his wife because it was all about Donald.
It was all about him and his moment in his house. You know, it's like, oh, there was somebody else with me? Obama, see to that.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah. Okay. The pictures. Hey, thank you so much for your thoughts.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Uh-huh.
Oh, great.
All right. You have a good day.
And let's go to our next caller. Linda.
Good morning,
Hi.
Linda.
Hi, this is Linda. I wanted to go to the march, and I had a class that morning that I'd missed twice because of the snow and ice, and so I paid for it. So I went to my class, and I thought, okay, I'll leave at 1, and I'll be able to get down there. But I found every bridge blocked by police at the east end. Mm-hmm. I know at the west end they were, too, but at the east end, I couldn't get across the Hawthorne, the Morrison, the Steele. I was able to get across the Broadway Bridge and come down towards the area of the protest from west. But I could never, I spent an hour and a half and I could never get close enough. I have a really bad back. I couldn't walk a long distance to be able to get to it. So that was pretty amazing just in that, that it was so big. And so now part of it was, I do think the police were using their, I don't know that all those bridges had to be closed off. Nobody was marching across them or anything and not allowing people to enter downtown. But maybe it was so packed that they really couldn't. I heard that it was like, I was seeing lots of people like 10 or 12 blocks away from it with pink hats and coming from it signs.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, and so I think it was really quite enormous, and I was really excited about that. I was also excited, however, about Friday night. I got to anchor the Cable Evening News and our coverage, and there was some property damage that took place. I'm not particularly happy about that. But I was more happy that the show for the Pioneer Square flag burning was large. There were at least a couple thousand people downtown at the largest point in that march. And to see how the police treat a march like that so much differently, even before, according to Jenka, who was down at the Burnside Bridge live streaming for KBOO, the march was going smoothly, and there was no property damage taking place at all at the time that the police decided to block off the Burnside Bridge, and they sort of kettled people. They made people go a certain direction and then told them they had to disperse once they got in that direction. And before that, it was moving smoothly, and no one was blocking anything, and she thought people were just going to walk across the Burnside Bridge, not block it. So police tactics are not unsophisticated, and I wanted to add that in as well. One other thing I wanted to say was I heard that in Seattle, according to up there, they had almost 100,000 on their march, which is spectacular. And that in Washington, D.C., some people were saying, we're just standing here. We can't move. We move one step every 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes you got to figure that the presence is good. Yeah.
That's pretty spectacular.
That is. Just having the presence is, you know, there is good. Even if you can't move, they can't mistake all of those pink hats.
So
absolutely not. I want to see what this very right-wing anti-reproductive rights, even birth control rights, some of them are trying to put in bills to stop that as well. That what they will do in the face of that many women having been in the streets. And you notice that the way Trump wanted to refer to them was they were non-voters. Didn't we just have an election? Why didn't they vote? As if he doesn't know.
Well, you know, not only were those old facts, but it's kind of like the smart aleck who knows that they're wrong, but they throw something clever out there anyway. That's all it was.
But I also think it's intended to, for some people out there, go,
Well, of course.
Didn't vote. You know what I mean?
And he plays to that.
He's pretty clever at deflecting the meaning of events to his own wishes. But I noticed that even mainstream TV this morning was talking about the numerous lies that his press secretary said.
Spicer.
There were like five direct lies. And he was challenged on Sunday morning TV, which would rarely challenge a presidential spokesperson that way. So I think that, you know, we're living in interesting times.
We are. And thank you for your call.
All right, bye-bye.
And so I'm wondering, Linda made reference to legislations and ways in which things might change in terms of it really impacting people's lives. And, you know, I'm concerned that, you know, all the focus on the president, he's only one man. And according to the Constitution, he may propose and sign legislation. We have a very strong stranglehold on the Congress. And so real substantive changes can take place and will take place and are taking place.
Yes.
With there's nothing to stop them, at least on the legislative level, these laws will be proposed and passed and signed.
Well, today I know, having read my Get Up in the Morning News, that the Trans-Pacific Partnership is on the table. for dismissal, which a lot of people are kind of happy about. Okay, now the problem is there's dismissal, there's revision, there's we don't even know what's happening, and there's utter chaos. And then the other thing that's on the table, well, there's two things. There's the repeal of NAFTA and the U.S. Withdrawn from the United Nations. So I mean, I'm not going to hold my breath. I'm going to breathe and do what I'm supposed to do. Everybody out there that's being fearful, see, I have something for you. We were born for such a time as this. That's what I tell myself and all of my friends of color. We sit here and we talk about, okay, these are the times that all of the older relatives in our family told us about. You know, it's going to be ugly, batten down the hatches, fasten your seatbelt, Blanche, it's going to be a bumpy ride, all of that. You know, but we were born for such a time as this. And don't cower and be afraid. You know, look to your personal strengths. Look to the strengths of your collective community and figure out how you all work together. And you've heard some of the people say, okay, well, we did this, now what's next? And running for office and shoring up your sanctuary efforts and making sure people are registered to vote and making sure that you are informing your friends and family about up and coming legislation and what you can do about it from the grassroots level. Those are things you can do. You can remain active.
You may remain active. And I agree with you in terms of resistance and not giving up. At the same time, I think for me, it, in terms of a reality check, is that we will see regressive legislation pass and enforce on the national level. So things that people count on and that you can't even, people healthcare will be taken away. I just read something that Medicaid will be converted into state blocks, and we know that can be school funding. You know, you go down the route, things are going to change, and we need to get ready for those changes and how they will impact real people, real life. We have 2 years of national legislation. Two-thirds of the state house is in control by one party, which is in line with the president and their agenda. I think some of us who have been living in a blue bubble may not be impacted as radical as others, but things are really going to get really bad really soon. End of editorial. Let's go to our next caller.
Good morning, Mike. Oops. Okay. Good morning to good morning, Charles.
Good morning. Thank you. I just want to first start off thanking the incredible coalition of women that organized Saturday's awesome turnout. But I think it's great that the callers have been addressing the issues of Friday night. Trump is sort of turning the clock backwards. And we have to also ask if our mayor is really living in the past. Is what's important in Portland, the Constitution and freedoms, or just using body-armored thugs to block people from expressing their constitutional rights on bridges? Linda and then I think Chris Fortaleza from JWJ have called in and talked about this bizarre situation where in Portland, rubberized bullets are shot at many of our friends and neighbors who are doing nothing other than the same thing that happened on Saturday, but on Friday night. There's possibly, maybe, I think if you go around downtown, only two pieces of plywood from two different Starbucks where somebody got out of control and did some property damage, but that's not an excuse to shoot the people that didn't do that with rubber bullets while they're standing in Pioneer Square. So I hope that more and more of your people who are listening will connect with, you know, get out of your comfort zones, go up on Killingsworth to Unite Oregon, the former Center for Intercultural Organizing, and not just show up, but start connecting with new people. And in other words, Adrian with Black Lives Matter organizing women and men of color to really lead this resistance. So get out of our comfort zones and find new allies and challenge. You know, we still, you know, have a mayor who's just another white guy with multi-generational legacy wealth. So mm-hmm. ask him why things happened the way they did Friday night that were different from Saturday.
Well, those are good questions, and we do have some platforms for that. And so for people to remember to take advantage of the platforms that we have for connecting to city council and to comments both for and critical of our law enforcement.
Yeah, you know, this question of, I think the idea of, you know, Friday's leaders know that their position is you don't need a permit, you've got the Constitution. Mm-hmm. Saturday's leaders want to create a different idea about safety, so they went the permit route. But I think we don't want to get dragged into just that little hair-splitting detail.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But ask, you know, why is it that when a women-led organization kind of makes a strategic decision to work with the power structure, they're spared violence. But when people of color like Don't Shoot Portland and PDX Resistance do the same thing, if they don't jump through hoops to cozy up to power, then we end up with the deployment of body-armored thugs and rubberized bullets shot at our friends and neighbors.
Well,
and I think
go ahead,
one of the... I think... You know, it's a larger question in terms of access and power.
Right.
And I think that's one of the things we have to look at in terms of who's allowed to be freed from police violence and who's not. And I thank you for raising some really good points, Chris.
Go ahead. I was just going to say really briefly that and the fact that when people do try to jump through hoops, you also want to make sure that the response they get is timely and impartial, because who's to say that people don't apply and don't get a timely response?
Exactly. And if people have questions about the hoops, you know, you just pointed out that there are channels for accessibility to the mayor. And unfortunately, in our city, if you want to address the city council, you have to sign up in advance.
Mm-hmm.
But I did that. So if people want to come on Wednesday, every Wednesday the mayor has to walk down from his third floor office to the public chamber on the second floor. So I encourage them to join the media there and ask the mayor questions. And then at 9:30, I'll be specifically raising some of these issues. You know, I still have my white male privilege, but I'd love to see more people of color come and, you know, be empowered to lift their voices about anything they see as far as injustice or disparity in the way different organizers and social justice groups are treated in the city.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, y'all. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
And you're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station. And let me remind you that at 9 is the Old Mo Variety Hour with continue first-hand reports on the Women's March in Washington and the politics of Obama's commutation, including Chelsea Manning. At 10 is Chris Andre, host of Ear Cascadia. At 10:15, Locus Focus is with Barbara Bernstein. William DeBise described his journey in search of the solar, the first large land mammal discovered in 50 years. At 11, Disability Awareness presents Health Action 2017 and reports on Mumia Abu-Jamal's recent court victory to gain health treatment and the ongoing struggle to make the U.S. government clean up naval bombing containment in Vieques, Puerto Rico.
And I was wondering why he didn't get his sentence commuted.
Linda Peltier, a whole bunch of them.
Yeah, I know.
At 11:30, Voices for the Animals speaks with Ralph Nader about his new book, Animal Envy. These and more from your community radio station.
I'm sorry, members. I threw you off.
Yeah. Let's go to our next caller, Mike.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, you know, first of all, where's the religious community at? They seem to be always be absent, man, in times of change. But anyway...
Back up, Mike. Come on now. You can't drop that bomb and run away. What do you mean they seem to always be absent in times of change? Unpack that for us.
Well, they do. I mean, they don't tend to influence a broad section of society, man, that tends to scare you people.
What do you mean?
I want to get on to my point, man.
Okay, go ahead.
The last guy that came on talking about armored thugs, I think society needs to make the police feel the same way celebrities feel. Celebrities didn't go to the inauguration, the bulk of them, and perform because they were worried about people buying their records or their movies. Now, the police need to be feeling the same way. If you're going to call them body armor thugs, quit buying their armor, their bullets. All the people that are complaining and protesting, you're buying the equipment for the people that is oppressing you.
So how do we do that?
Well, quit working. Quit paying your taxes. Okay. That's one way. Another thing.
I like living indoors.
See, you got scared. You know something? First of all, how are you going to try to change things if you're scared?
I'm not scared. I just want to live inside.
How are you going to try to change things if you want to be comfortable?
Well, I think you raise legitimate points. Sometimes I agree with you. We make resistance comfortable, and we need to be able to give up our comfort. That may range a whole different ways to many different people, but I agree with you that change makes us uncomfortable, and we really have to examine both individually and as a community what we really stand for, and are we willing to take the risk for the change that we say we want. So thank you.
Another thing, all those females out there, I think a lot of the marketing for change, I think some of it misdirected. I would wonder how many of those females had children that's in the military that was out there. How many of those females out there had kids that are policemen that were out there, that sometime the marketing should be geared towards the military and the police as opposed to each other, because the power structure that Trump has, his power derives from the military, in part. And most of the military are made up of poor people and minorities. Now, why is it that you can't go and try to market to that group of people, because that's his power base?
You're raising a lots of points in it I don't think we have time to address them all.
First call earlier. And then, you shouldn't leave right before we're done. But call earlier and then try to, break it down to one of your points, because you drop, like, complex points and then run. It's like, that's not fair. I think he's got a point about the military, but this is what I was saying. I had a mechanic who was a diehard Republican, and Lee and I would sit and talk sometimes. And he couldn't say anything to me because I come from a family that served in the military. All but two of my siblings served. But here was the thing. I said, you can say what you want to say about the president and the current administration, but here's the thing. What did Bush do for your daughter when she needed the VA to help her out because she was having some work-related problems? He was stymied because we'd already had the conversation. She already knew about it. So I'm sharing with him on a personal level and trying to get him to understand that just because this person is a Republican does not mean that they have your best interests at heart or your children. So, it's a matter sometimes. That's an entree into talking to your folks who have supported administrations that don't really support the people who are their so-called bottom ranks,
Yeah.
So he's got a point, but stay and talk.
And I just want to refer him and to our listeners to two other things he mentioned in terms of the religious community. Just before he called, I pulled up an article in religiousnews.com entitled "At the Women's March, the Religious Left Resists Trump," and also to refer to an action that took place by the religious community in Pioneer Place yesterday. So some are there and some need to be prodded as the population in general.
Well, what about, oh gosh, I can't believe I forgot the Reverend Barber, Moral Majority folks. He has been really busy.
In the Moral Monday movement.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say, Moral Monday movement. He's been really busy. So, you know, when you say the religious groups are not doing anything, you kind of got to specify what you mean by religious groups and anything. But go to our next caller while we got a little time. Good morning. Good morning, David. Thanks for holding.
Good morning. This is something Cecil said sparked for me a reminder that, I mean, I notice in myself and also in the dialogue from yesterday that the tendency to focus primarily on Trump and criticism of Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I think that's super important to oppose and resist Trump, but behind Trump, if Trump goes, then there's Pence, then
yes.
There's Ryan.
Yes.
And what Cecil was saying also is it's a whole... It's the administration, it's the cabinet, and then all of Congress. So I think sometimes I feel overwhelmed. It seems so big. I agree with Cecil. Partly it's just prepare, and also I think sometimes the threat is so large, we can get a little bit off by focusing only on one individual, and it might distract us from also opposing and getting our voices heard for the wide spectrum of the Congress people, the senators, and so forth. So to be active in a wide way as well as focusing on Trump, I think is important.
I think you've got a point. And one way we can do that is stay on top of our federal representatives.
Yes.
You know, every time something comes out, we have to call their offices and, you know, go to the internet or whatever you need to do to get their information. But call them and let them know how you feel. Have your friends and family call. Because, and then when you see something that is contrary to what Trump supporters expect, point it out in a helpful way.
Yes. Yes, yes, I agree. And the other idea I had, I'm sure, do you know who is, if anyone has, or if there's on the web already, put together a list of the various cabinet members, maybe even senators and congresspeople, and the companies with which they are associated? Because I think boycotting oil in general, for example, boycotting the financial influence that companies that are influencing this agenda is also potentially a useful tool. And I'm wondering, are you familiar with anyone who's put that together?
I'm sure there are. I'm not, but I think it would be easy to find out. And, you know, certainly the Secretary of State with Exxon. So,
that's pretty obvious.
And a lot of his... you know, closest advisors and cabinet members are, you know, straight from Wall Street. So, yeah, that's a good idea. I don't know, but if someone does, let us know. Great.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Let's see if we can get to our last caller before we have to leave. Bill, good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to say that I'm interested that part of this issue is really about having won victories in the past and just these groups dissolving or going away. So if we're talking about, you know, workers' rights being popular at one point in time, it was unpopular to someone at that time. If racial equality was popular and it changed towards the favor of the people, it was unpopular to someone else.
Yes.
So that someone else is always constantly trying to regain its position. So when we talk about the ugly legacy of racism, we can also talk about the ugly legacy of classism, which kind of retreats and gets a facelift, and it
yes.
re-emerges as someone like we have now in power. So I think that we can never rest. Even when we think we have won, we have to continue to fight, even if it's for something that we say we have a law against it. Now we have to put something in place to fully protect it. And I think that's the issue with, like, the Affordable Care Act. How do you really protect it even once you get it now? So it's going to have to be a continuous fight
yes.
because there's always going to be that group that it is unpopular to. And as a result, they're there in the background, excuse me, continually fighting to change it. And they
yes.
have plans that are 30 or 40 years out.
in many instances of these issues that we're facing. So I think this protest, this it has to have a legacy behind it. It just can't be a temporary thing.
Very good. Very good point to conclude our morning program. This is More Talk Radio for Celeste Carey. My name is Cecil Prescott, and we will see you, not see you, we will hear you. You will hear us, but not in an alternative reality, but next week. Thank you so much. Continue the struggle.
Good morning. This is KBOO Portland. It's 8:59, and coming up is the Old Mole Variety Hour. They're going to be talking about the march in D.C. and in Portland, as well as Obama's commutations on Chelsea Manning and others, hope and utopia, and how Trump, not by his own design, may actually assist in helping us deal with climate change. Interesting twist there. At 10 o'clock, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15 on Locus Focus with Barbara Bernstein, William DeBise describes his journey in search of the sola, the first large land mammal discovered in 50 years. At 11, Disability Awareness welcomes activist Lisa Lake to discuss disability issues with houseless people and solutions for service providers. And at 11:30 on Voices for the Animals, we speak with legendary consumer advocate and author Ralph Nader about his new book, Animal Envy. Thank you, KBOO members, for bringing us all of this wonderful programming and for your generous support. If you're not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate. It's 8:59.
Tune in the fourth Monday of each month at 11:30 a.m. to Voices for the Animals.
We discuss the latest news and trends in the animal world.
And the role of activism surrounding the issues of animal rights.
That's Voices for the Animals at 11:30 a.m. on the fourth Monday of each month on KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the 34th Annual Real Music Film Series taking place January 13th through February 5th at the Northwest Film Center. New works and classics are featured this year, including The Jazz Loft According to W. Eugene Smith, Mose Allison, Ever Since I Stole the Blues, How Sweet the Sound, The Blind Boys of Alabama, the Les Blank film about Leon Russell called A Poem is a Naked